Chapter 8. Bring It Strategically. A Vanguard Aims in the Right Direction. Resolve to Really Know the Great Commissioner. This chapter challenges you to step up strategically when you step up to obey Christ's commission. Make declaring God's glory to the nations your target. The world's greatest need is to know that our Lord Jesus reigns. To have Him known, you must know Him for yourself and let Him reign in your own heart, life, and plans. Consider my testimony about introducing a college student to Christ to better understand what I mean. I planned to attend a big high school boys' basketball game last season with many of our friends. Then, a parent of a girl I knew from AAU basketball emailed me to invite me to her game. I sensed that God wanted me to go to her game, perhaps to share the gospel with this parent somehow. When I sat in the bleachers next to her parents, they basically ignored me. So I spent the first half of the game sitting alone and praying. Lord, I know that I am here for a reason, but what is it? I will sit here available for whatever you want me to do. During halftime, I went to the foyer and talked with a coach. A college student, whom I had known since he was in middle school, began talking to me. He informed me of his recent transfer to Norfolk State University. Also, he shared with me how he had recently made a commitment at church to follow Christ. This college student said, "Coach Mike, I need someone to teach me the Bible. I can't understand what it's saying." I knew immediately why the Lord had guided me to this game. With others, I had been praying for an opportunity to start at a ministry on his campus. I offered to teach him, and we arranged to meet at the NSU library. After I explained John 3:16 in detail, he put his faith in Christ. A few months later, while giving his testimony at a college retreat, he pegged our library discussion as the moment he came to know Christ for sure. This college student invited friends to study the Bible with us in his dormitory. I enjoyed the honor of explaining their wonderful potential in fulfilling his world mandate. I realized from the start of our meeting that he genuinely desired to follow Christ, but no one had clearly explained the gospel to him. He went up to the front of the church during an invitation, but did not know how to begin a relationship with Jesus. Many students know that Jesus died for our sins. However, they do not fully understand the meaning of His sacrifice. Here is a short explanation. We come into this world spiritually dead and separated from God because of sin and its consequences. God is holy and must punish sin. Yet, in love, the Father sent Jesus to make it possible to give you spiritual life and bring you into a lasting relationship with Himself. As a Vanguard leader, you must believe that Jesus is God, who came in the flesh to pay for the punishment of death for your sins. He died in your place to satisfy God's holiness. In justice, God enforces the consequence that the punishment for sin is death. Jesus bore our sin on His body to pay that punishment. Being of infinite worth, Christ's death satisfied God's justice so that His mercy could be freely given to us. When Jesus completed this work, the Father raised Him from the dead. He exalts Jesus and gives Him eternal life as a free gift to everyone who believes in Him. True belief means accepting that Jesus is God, turning from sin, and giving Him control of one's life. To receive the gift of eternal life, one must believe that Jesus is one Savior who died on the cross and rose again as a substitute to pay the punishment for one's sins. Trusting in Him and His work on the cross is God's only way to receive forgiveness and eternal life. This means trusting in Christ's payment for sin by death on the cross, and not on one's performance of religious deeds or rituals to become a true child of God. He offers forgiveness and acceptance by grace, which is a free blessing from God that cannot be earned and is not deserved. If this way of believing in Jesus to receive forgiveness, a new relationship with God, and eternal life is new to you, I encourage you to put your trust in Him as you consider this summary. Jesus gave His life for you. Now, He wants you to believe that He is your risen God, Savior, and King, and to give your life to Him. My Father explained John 3:16 to me and invited me to express in a prayer my committed faith in Jesus Christ and to thank Him for dying on the cross as a substitute for me. I encourage you to make the same personal commitment to give Him control of your life. When you opened your heart and received Him, Christ indwelt you through the Holy Spirit and made, and still makes, your spirit alive as His new creation. Your union with Christ comes with a new status of being righteous before God, and the Holy Spirit works in you to cleanse and set you apart from sin. As I said before, when you became a new creation in Christ and His ambassador, your new relationship with Him gave you the possibility of receiving many privileges through God's grace. Foremost among them is the freedom to follow Christ as His obedient disciple. Under His great commission, you receive the right to declare God's glory to the nations. Through His indwelling Spirit and your glad obedience, you may effectively declare to the world that Jesus reigns. As His vanguard, know and proclaim Jesus as Lord, Savior, King, and the great commissioner of His disciples to all nations. Resolve to get a prayer life. Find a disciple maker to show you how to fellowship with God in prayer, like Jesus demonstrated out loud before His followers in John chapter 17. Getting a prayer life is a vital part of discipleship. During my childhood, God used family members to impress upon me the desire and need to pray. I remember my father leading prayer meetings at church and camp, my mother's prayers at bedtime, and my pioneer missionary grandmother rising before dawn to pray. They instilled in me the importance of prayer. When I entered the ministry, I resolved to pray like them. After my grandmother lost consciousness in her 90s, I read to her from the Psalms. Although unresponsive to all else, she leaned toward me as I read, like she knew the scriptures and could respond spiritually somehow. Following her example, I rise each day before dawn to spend time with the Lord and begin by praying through a psalm. Pray about a spouse. Speaking of my grandmother, if you need to marry, make sure that your spouse brings to your union the same fire for Christ's commission that burns in your heart. My grandmother went to Africa engaged to a man who decided not to stay. She broke off the engagement, but met my grandfather in Africa, where they married and served together. Of course, your spouse's commitment will determine your life's involvement level in missions. If you must marry, then marry up spiritually. Meaning, ask God for a spouse who brings even hotter passion than you for Christ and His commission. Go on a short-term missions trip and see how well you serve and complement each other in overseas ministry. Find someone who will pray hard with you for guidance. Seek someone, like my grandmother, who rises early to intercede for the world, so you can step up and lead together as one. Make obeying Christ's commission your standard for choosing a spouse before you become emotionally attached. Before you fall in love, strategically design a mobilizing relationship to land on. Pray now about issues related to finding a missions-minded spouse prior to meeting someone interesting. Pray in many ways. Leaders at the Tabernacle Church taught me to pray in different ways and venues when I was your age. I learned that prayer is fellowship with God and how to pray using Scripture. They showed me different kinds of prayer like worship, praise, confession, conversation, and concerts of prayer. We prayed in Sunday school, worship services, conferences, small groups, personal devotions, half days of prayer, evangelistic crusades, and with fasting. Different groups met regularly to pray for missionaries during early morning, afternoon, and evening meetings. Church planting trained me to listen in prayer. I learned to meditate on Scripture, wait on God's guidance, and ask Him to show me what to pray. I began seeking His direction before setting my schedule, compiling a to-do list, organizing ministries, leading small groups, teaching, preaching, evangelizing, discipling, counseling, and fundraising. Spiritual warfare made listening in prayer a critical part of ministry. Being under stress from this warfare taught me prayer's principle of self-surrender. Expressing complete dependence upon God's grace, I came to appreciate the great privilege of invoking Jesus' name. Prayer walking in neighborhoods also became an important strategy in our church planting ministries. Early on, spiritual warfare's intensity convinced me that victory requires the prayer of many, more than mine alone. you will find the fiercest spiritual attacks coming at you to prevent discipleship and any effort to move out and fulfill Christ's commission. Leading at the front puts you at the tip of the spiritual warfare spear, but your discipleship of others increases the number of prayer warriors in the mix. As you equip an army of prayer warriors, pray for and seek a strong team of prayer partners to intercede for you. Faithful prayer warriors who intercede for us are our best ministry resources. Some wait for my weekly emailed prayer requests. Some greet me by asking me specific details from them. I can tell when people are praying. When one of my daughters needed a heart procedure, I sent word to Jamaican churches because I knew how hard they would pray. On the day of this procedure, one of our prayer partners in Norfolk spent the day praying silently in the waiting room, explaining that the Lord had led her to do so. I keep on the lookout for more praying saints like her who will call down heaven for us. Always remember to enlist and empower prayer warriors. Mobilize them to stand with you in spiritual battle and with those who will follow you to foreign lands. These warriors serve Christ through prayer as your partners. They share in your vanguard ministry and its reward by engaging in spiritual warfare with you. Communicate often with them to encourage their faithful service. Find a prayer warrior who mobilizes others as a disciple maker to equip you as a prayer soldier yourself. Learn how to organize your personal prayer each day by journaling to write out prayers and maintain a daily prayer list. Also, learn how to constantly stay connected with Christ so your union with Him results in fruitful obedience with prayer as described in John chapter 15. When my discipleship started, and while I was a college student, a missionary spoke at our church missions retreat on prayer. I asked him to explain how to pray so much when I could not think of requests to ask. He challenged me to start sharing the gospel with people and predicted that I would find myself pleading with God for their souls. I began connecting with a neighbor in our apartment complex, which led to bringing him to church. I discovered quickly that the missionary was right about increasing the amount of requests that I made in prayer. Obeying Christ's commission will heighten your burden for people who need Christ. Prayer becomes vital to completing the task. As I said, Jesus entrusted you with the privilege to ask Him to thrust out laborers for His great spiritual harvest. Luke 10:2. Mobilize Christ's forces through your fervent prayers. While you pray for God's people, ask Christ to powerfully send out African Americans around the world. Resolve to pursue Christ's character. To win spiritual warfare and make God's glory known, our Lord Jesus must fight for you, with you, and through you. With His presence, victory is guaranteed. Without it, defeat is certain. Christ's presence, which He promised to disciples who obey His commission, becomes absolutely vital to your success. But do not take Him for granted. Since, as a vanguard, you lead the charge into spiritual warfare, make sure you qualify with the moral purity of a true disciple to claim this promise. Some make the deadly mistake of thinking their titles or how hard they offer praise will move God to fight for them. Your character becomes critical when mobilizing with Christ to lead others into spiritual warfare. Christians who compromise their integrity or condone immorality disqualify themselves as both disciples and disciple makers. Regardless of titles, to fail to pursue God's holiness is to abandon the assigned task of teaching all nations to obey Christ. Our freedom cannot be misunderstood as a license to sin. Praise God for the many students in your generation who live godly lives and are determined to honor Him with their purity. Developing Christ-like character is not the same as trying to earn His favor or other people's respect. True godly character comes from knowing Christ and staying in fellowship with Him. I cannot stress enough that knowing Him intimately, maintaining a strong prayer life, and pursuing godly character are important for all believers, whether they fulfill Christ's commission in their backyard or overseas. Since a vanguard mobilizes God's people to pray, give, and go strategically on Christ's mission, invest time in meeting with your commissioner to know him well in order to make him well known. In Jesus' commission, He promised to be with you. With consistent prayer, reserve to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In the next chapter, I explain how our confidence in His strength applies specifically to the financial support that He gives through His people to sustain His mission. Philippians 4:13.